Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Seriously, if you want to relieve stress, go to the Word of God.
Oh my goodness. It's just so weird, isn't it? You hear people say stuff like that?
I apologize for them.
Are you kidding me?
Let's all do baptism, and I have a little pool here, and we'll all feel nice and relaxed. That's baptism. No, baptism is a sacred Christian rite. All the various yogas are sacred Hindu rites.
Wake up, America!
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And away we go!
It's the Wretched Radio mail call delivery bag Q&A infotainment nationwide extravaganza featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
The mail is here!
Ooh. You never know when somebody might be listening. This is Wretched Radio. Please send your questions, comments, conundrums, snarks, if you've got them, to idea@wretched.org. Idea@wretched.org. To the mailbag we go. This first one I am choosing to leave anonymous. I appreciate it very much. I appreciate the transparency, and I sure do appreciate the lessons. The subject, transgenderism. We've talked about that topic because our culture is screaming about it these days. This person writing in to explain what it feels like to feel like you're in the wrong body, because he knows whereof he speaks. And he was listening to us talk about it here on Wretched Radio, and so he wants to help instruct. In other words, while we have been talking about the issue of transgenderism, an individual who struggled with that was listening. You don't have to be talking into a microphone for that little lesson to apply. You never know when somebody's listening. How we talk about stuff, I grant you, we don't have to become paralyzed, weighing every single word, sifting every single thought, because what if somebody hearing this might actually have experienced that? But having said that, you never know, do you? Perhaps this will help us understand the mindset of this fellow in response to what does it feel like you're in the wrong body. The first aspect of what I felt, he writes, was a discontentment with my own physical body. I was disgusted with the parts of me that made me a man. I hated my body, despite having no rational reason for that feeling. The second aspect was an envy of women, particularly the appearance and function of their bodies. The woman's body was polar opposite to the one I had and hated. Thus, it was the focus of my desires and what I wanted to emulate. I felt like a woman in that I was horrified with my man body and longed for the physical attributes of a woman body. Now, that doesn't tell me what it exactly feels like, but you are, now I'm not trying to conflate this with sexuality, but you are attracted most likely to somebody the opposite gender. You just see that form and you like that form. This seems to be kind of similar to that without necessarily the sexual component. You just like that form, like you'd like that to be your form, because let's face it, there's a difference between boys and girls. So it's not so much a feeling about being in the wrong body, it seems to me, as much as that's the type of body I'd like to have. I like that thing that I see and observe. I sure wish that could be the way that I looked. And therefore, the conclusion of our culture is you're in the wrong body. I still reject that type of language and positioning, but maybe that helps us to grasp a little bit what's going through their mind. Now, here's perhaps the best part of this email sent to idea@wretched.org. When I was saved, it was quickly made clear to me that an identity in Christ and a transgender identity were absolutely mutually exclusive. So I gave up the ladder and was comforted knowing that I am fearfully and wonderfully made. This is realigning of thinking. This is what we have been on about for so long here. This is what needs to happen for this person, for you, for me, on whatever the issue is. My thinking is crooked. The straight stick of the word needs to come along and straighten out what is crooked inside of me. The truth. This person feeling like, ooh, I'm in the wrong body because I prefer that body. The Bible comes along and says, you're in the right body because God made you. You're in the right body. Not just, you've got to believe that. You've got to alter your thinking.
And the way that you alter your thinking is by trusting God's word. Remember, believing comes before thinking. Because if you believe the source, you are going to think like the source. If you don't, you're not going to. So trusting God's word is accurate, true, and powerful. Believing that is going to help me to think right, that I'm in the right body because this is the body that God has fearfully and wonderfully made for me. He writes, I still occasionally struggle with contentment with the body I'm in, but I can only imagine that I'm being tested. I trust in God and wish to live as a man for him. What a great testimony of God helping somebody understand the world, the way that it works, their body, the way that it is, to realign their thinking. So praise God for that, and thank you for the email. Did that make sense, fellas, about the trying to understand? It's like, okay, it's not like I'm in the wrong body, like, ew, it doesn't feel right. It's more of like an attraction, and again, not sexual necessarily.
I covet that body.
I like that form.
Yeah.
And you know, and I just, okay, can we imagine that maybe just a little bit to try to understand this to a degree? There's probably, this gets so complicated with sexual issues, but nevertheless, there's something that you like. You would see something and you'd admire it on another person, whatever it is, an attribute, or maybe even a skill for them. Maybe that's more helpful. You see a skill in somebody and you think, oh, I'd like that skill. You hear somebody who's witty and urbane, and you're like, oh man, I really admire that. I must be in the wrong body. That's the wrong conclusion, isn't it? Now, let's say you desire something that is wrong. Okay, desiring to be witty, that's cool. Concluding you're in the wrong body, that's just really horrible thinking. What if you desire somebody? It's like, man, when they drop the F-bomb, man, that's really super cool. Okay, hold on. Stop. You need to realign your thinking with God's thinking and not desire that. Not become a foul-mouthed, wounded pirate, but you need to stop talking and thinking like that because you believe God's word is true. Maybe that helps to a degree. Maybe. All right. You wish you were taller. You wish you were shorter. You wish that you were you had more muscle mass. You wish that you... Okay, you've got a gut. You wish that you don't have a gut. You don't conclude you're in the wrong body, but you can at least understand. So you see some dude with a six-pack, and you go, oh, man, that's how I'd like to be looking. Okay, you can get that. This must be a man sees a woman and the form and desires the form, again, not sexually, but like wants that so badly that they conclude that they're in the wrong body. Maybe that's somewhat helpful. By the way, guys, I've been working my legs at the gym, just so you know, because now that I have a two-pack ab.
I've got a six-pack and a cooler.
I decided for the first time in years to do leg day. That's right, did leg day. Now, I was basically walking like I had been beaten with a tire iron, but nevertheless, I finished my set on the leg machine. And one of the big guys at the gym, so encouraging, said, nice set, Bambi. Okay, then. That was the end of leg day. Never doing that again. Idea at wretched.org. Idea at wretched.org.
Bambi.
Little wobbly legs of mine. Like pixie sticks is what they are. This is a tough one. Oof. One more reason to be praying for your pastor, I'm telling you. Really, just try to imagine for a moment. The texts that you receive are regularly like this. The phone calls, the counseling sessions, they're regularly like this. Can a husband prevent a wife from attending a different church? Oh, they're going to a liberal church. She's growing in her faith and her understanding of the word, and she doesn't want to be there anymore. She wants to go to the more Bible-based church down the street, and the husband is saying, you can't go, and if you do, I will divorce you. Oh, wow. Enter into that fray, Pastor. You don't want to undermine the roles in the issue, but... you've got to say to the man, you've got no grounds for divorcing because your wife is going to a better church than you. How would you advise that? Huh? How would you recommend? Let me just tell you what I'm going to do. Watch this little trickaroo. I might not have bulky tree trunk legs, but crafty. Oh, I've got that. This is what I think you should do, madam. You know that church that you like better? Call up the pastor and talk to him. Am I passing the buck and just being wily to get out from underneath this question? No, actually, I think that's the best advice. I'm from afar. And this pastor, if you've got a Bible-based church, to go to him and say, sir, here's my situation. Can you help me walk through it? He can ask questions. He can give you wisdom. And perhaps he could even connect you with a woman who is in a very similar situation who can walk alongside you to do this wisely, because this is a tangle. This is a mess. And this is a difficult situation. So the best thing that I think that you can do, madam, is to talk to the pastor of the Bible-based church, ask for help, and hopefully they can walk you through it wisely and much better than I ever could from a distance. And please let this be a reminder to all of us. She's going to call up that pastor, hopefully. And this is hard business we're talking about. Pray for your pastor's wisdom, because he needs it every day, regularly. idea@wretched.org. Your emails next on Wretched Radio.
Thanks for joining us today. Always appreciate that you choose to spend part of your day listening to Wretched Radio. And thanks to our gospel partners for making Road Trip to Truth possible. Road Trip to Truth is coming soon to a Wretched store near you. It's a video series hosted by John Fabares that went on the road to college campuses talking with students about the tough issues that they're faced with. Things like, why is there evil in this world? Is Jesus really God, and is there only one way to heaven? And we got to share the gospel with them. Road Trip to Truth will give you that fly-on-the-wall look as we reach out to this younger generation with the gospel of hope in Jesus Christ. Road Trip to Truth, one of the great resources that are made possible by our gospel partners. If the numbers are right, and they usually are, about 70% of kids leave the faith when they enter college. We're looking to reach out to them with the gospel. Join us, won't you, by becoming a Wretched Gospel Partner? Go to wretched.org/donate for all the details. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Let's go to Eastern Europe for yet another great story coming out of the Tomorrow Clubs.
Andrea was left by her mother when she was 3 months old. The Tomorrow Club director decided to pray for this girl, and she repented. She used to be a sad-looking kid. Now, seems like that smile never comes off her face.
So many kids are abandoned by parents who need to go to other countries to make a living. They donate their organs. They leave the kids. They are lost physically and spiritually, and the Tomorrow Clubs finds them. They teach them the gospel. They help them to memorize Bible verses. They even will help them with their family lives. It's a magnificent ministry, story after story coming out of Eastern Europe. $30 a month, 30 disciples. Tomorrow Clubs is the ministry. Would you please consider supporting a club of your own? Tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Thanks very much to the generosity of our monthly gospel partners. Now, if you watch or listen to Wretched on a regular basis, would you consider becoming a gospel partner? See, our content, what we do, is only available because of the generous support of our gospel partners. Thanks to them, you can find full Wretched radio and TV episodes at the home of all things Wretched, wretched.org, among many other free resources. You see, without our gospel partners, there is no Wretched. So, if you enjoy watching or listening to Wretched and would like to continue to do so, consider please becoming a Wretched monthly gospel partner. Visit wretched.org/donate for all the details. And please know that we will be faithful stewards of your money. Right now, 83% of every dollar goes to ministry work. Consider becoming a gospel partner. Go to wretched.org/donate. SOS Ministries wants to see a movement take place within God's church in Uganda. They want to see God-fearing, Christ-proclaiming churches rise up across the country and impact the whole of the Ugandan society. To reach out nationwide, they have the Ministry of Church Strengthening and the Shepherd's Training Center to thoroughly equip indigenous pastors. But without the consistent support of God's people, none of this is possible. If you can help support SOS Ministries, go to sosministries.com. SOSministries.com.
Names of God. We learn a lot about God from the names given to him in Scripture. One name is Jehovah Rohi, the Lord is my shepherd. A good shepherd protects, directs, provides, and cares for his sheep. Jesus called himself the good shepherd, who lays his life down for his sheep. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Get thee behind me, Popeyes. This is Wretched Radio, doing what you do during the breaks, looking through my feed thing. I'm actually not sure where this is, I'll be honest with you, but something popped up on my phone from Fox 5 Atlanta. By the way, for whatever this is worth, and I suspect absolutely nothing, we've been talking here at Wretched Radio about the Murder and Mayhem Hour, the local news in Atlanta, where it is incessant, a drubbing, one murder after another. And if we run out of them here in Atlanta, then the Fox station, they'll talk about the murder that happened in Houston or Topeka, because it's just got to be. And then this horrible thing happened and this terrible thing. And I just found it getting so oppressive. I like knowing what's going on in my community. I just like being aware. And I like seeing the sports, the weather. I can even do that for a while anyway. I like the local news. It helps you to feel like you're aware of what's going on in your world. But this was just incessant. And then this terrible thing, and this kid stabbed another kid, and it,
Well, folks, let's get ready for a chilly weekend. It's going to be murder out there, much like the murder that just happened down the street here.
Exactly. And so the other night was flipping by another channel, and I believe it was the CBS station here in Atlanta, and they were talking about some little arts and crafts fair where they were raising money for some kid who needed it to go off to camp or something because the dad died. And I went, well, that's a sweet story right there. And then they talked about another event that happened in another part of Atlanta. Just a nice story. Somebody brought a basket of fruit or, you know, whatever the deal was. And it wasn't even necessary. And it was about some merger in business that is happening. And then there's a, you know, this store is closing down after 42, whatever. Nothing about the murder in Mayhem. And I went, oh, I like the news again. And it took me seeing the comparison to realize, wow, that stuff, it is absolutely poisonous. I don't know what news you're watching, but I'll tell you, I'm just, the local Fox presentation, I wish they would stop with the murder and mayhem business, and I wish they would stop trying to tempt me with Popeye's chicken. Here's what it says from Fox 5 Atlanta. Free food. Popeye's is giving away free chicken sandwiches this week. Click to find out the secret code. Do you think
so? What's the code
that I can be bought away from Zaxby's with a simple chicken sandwich from Popeye's?
Free.
I'm not a sellout.
It's free.
They do look kind of good, actually.
I'm telling you.
Well, maybe it's just research. I'm not actually selling out.
That's
Zaxby's.
It.
It's just research. Actually, I'm looking at this chicken sandwich. You guys, look at this, man. No wonder we Americans are getting heart attacks. Where's the chicken in that? It's mostly breading and deep-fried goodness right there on that sandwich.
It's not the KFC double down.
Speaking of chicken sandwiches, it is safe to go back to Chick-fil-A. That's right. Press release. Chick-fil-A, they've changed their stance, supposedly, on to whom they're going to give money and what organizations that they are supporting. I don't want to go back and dig through that mess again. But apparently the president of Chick-fil-A, after pulling the funding from Salvation Army and not YWAM, was a Campus Crusade, something like that. It was two Christian organizations giving the money to somebody who apparently is in favor of transgender homosexual issues. They got in all kinds of hot water. I do believe there was a boycott. From Mr. Cathy, we inadvertently discredited several outstanding organizations that we have effectively served communities for years. So apparently that's the Chick-fil-A mea culpa that now allows you to eat your Chick-fil-A waffle fries with a clean conscience.
Is it bad that I did that before they issued that statement?
Could we maybe just imagine for a moment it's 50 years from now and people are reading about the activities of the evangelical church, and they read a story about You mean they were upset because Chick-fil-A decided to not give money to a Chick-fil-A, the chicken restaurant place?
Yeah, that one.
Chain. Yeah, yeah. They, and so Christians didn't. Were...
Okay. They were. Oh, yeah.
Huh. Must have been a time of plenty and prosperity for them to be uptight about things like that. That was on
slow
their
news
list
week.
Of concerns. Or if persecution comes. If it gets really serious in this country, I don't think who Chick-fil-A is sending a check to out of their profits is going to be on the radar. That's just me. Idea@wretched.org. Oh, this is a good question, a theological question from Layton, asking how did what appears to be one man's death pay for the sins of everybody who would believe in him? And that's a fair question, theologically. Let's just say that to date, God has saved 1 billion people, forgiven the sins of 1 billion people. Jesus' death paid for all of their sins? How could that possibly be? He only suffered for less than a day, and then he died. People have to spend eternity in hell, so that's 1 billion people in hell for eternity, and his one day of passion paid for their sins? Answer, yep. Why? Two reasons. One, the intensity. You and I couldn't see it. We don't want to make too much of this, but we see Jesus Christ being beaten. We see him being punched, spat upon, crown of thorns, nails through his hands and Achilles, which is probably where they went, hung on a cross, gasped for air for a few hours, died. That's bad. But somebody would do the math and put that on the scale and go, yeah, but eternity in hell. We're talking about conscious torment, weeping and gnashing of teeth for eternity. There's something that seems to be off with the scales here. But there was another suffering that went on that you and I could not see in the passion of Jesus Christ. The Father pouring out the cup of his wrath that the Son drank to the dregs. Couldn't see it, but it was there. Number two, the one who suffered. But look, people are not inconsequential, not irrelevant. We are loved because God loves us. We have value because God values us. Jesus Christ is infinitely valuable. He's the God-man, Jesus. You see, it wasn't just a man dying for us. It was the God-man, Jesus Christ. The man, Jesus, our representative, God, Jesus, the acceptable sacrifice to God. So that is why it was a payment that was worthy of being accepted by the Father, because the Son is the God-man, God in flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ, the most valuable one that there is, and his passion was enough to pay for the sins of everyone who would believe. Got to tell you, I'm getting very, very excited about the booklet. I finished the final edits. It's been sent off to the Nazi editor. That's not what I like to call Lynn Public. Oh, no. Oh, no. You think I'm a fool, Mr. Eddie's father? Not a chance. Although Mrs. Friel did read it, and she was really always very helpful. It's just more people who read it and edit it. It's a book on 22 proofs that Jesus Christ is God. Phil Johnson, did I say I wrote it? Phil Johnson really wrote it. I've been editing it. I've been adding a bunch of stuff. We both wrote a lot of it. Phil, though, drove the whole thing. Magnificent writing from Phil Johnson, 22 proofs Jesus is God. And as I was working on the final edits on everything, I just continually am so pumped about it, because if you do not need persuading that Jesus is God, I'm telling you, if you read it, you're going to be like fist pumping. Yes, he is. There's no question about it. It is beyond the shadow of a doubt. We have to remember Jesus Christ was not a New York Times Square crackpot. He was not somebody who just gets up and goes, yeah, I'm God, so I want you to send me your money. Who would make a claim like that? A charlatan? A fake? A mere mortal. The very fact that Jesus never said it in such an obvious way demonstrates the validity of his claims. I'm persuaded of this. You know the canard, the argument that the atheists bring? Jesus never said I'm God. Well, not like that he didn't. That's what you would think of, mortal. That's what people would think of. And that's what we expect because we're people. But Jesus said it repeatedly in profound ways, connecting himself to a religious system, history, to lineages, to expectations. He wasn't just some dude who pops up, got kind of popular, and went, I'm God here. No, he's the long-expected prophet, God with us. All of the prophecies that describe the Messiah as God, he said, those right there, that's me, that's me. That's far more profound than saying, I am God. Those things that we've been reading and studying and believing for centuries in Israel, it's me. It's always been about me. And so all of the promises about God with us being the Messiah, the prophecies about Messiah being the Savior, the prophecies about the Messiah being the Alpha and the Omega, all of those terms, all of those titles talking about the Messiah, Jesus steps into the role because he was the long-expected prophet. And you should read those and go, whoa, that affirms that he's God, because he never said anything as pedantic as, I'm God. Instead, using God's holy name, don't forget, when he used the Tetragrammaton, when he used Jehovah, the I am statements in the book of John, when he said, before Abraham was, I am, using the name that they didn't even dare speak for fear of pronouncing it wrongly, he applied it to himself, is Jesus God beyond the shadow of a doubt, because he said it and demonstrated it more profoundly than some crackpot in Times Square. Email sent to idea@wretched.org. Next on Wretched Radio.
Christians are called to make disciples, but where do we start? Hearts for the Lost assists local pastors and church congregations by helping them equip the saints with biblical principles for personal evangelism. They'll fly out to your church to put on an evangelism seminar and then go out into the streets with you to put it into practice. And it's all free. To learn more or to schedule a conference, go to heartsforthelost.com. Heartsforthelost.com. This is Wretched Radio. Hi, I'm Tony Verkennis. Christians in China experienced an unprecedented level of surveillance, control, and restrictions of their beliefs within the past year. According to Open Doors' 2020 World Watch List, it saw the communist nation rise 4 spots in the annual ranking of countries that persecute Christians the most. China jumped from 27 to 23 on the list, driven by the government's desire to sinicize Christianity and other religions, meaning to make religious beliefs fall in line with the government's interpretation of communism. The World Watch List, released annually, lists the 50 most dangerous countries for Christians to live. North Korea, holding on to that top spot forever. They're followed by Afghanistan, Somalia, Libya, Pakistan, Eritrea, Sudan, Yemen, Iran, and India. If you want to check out the entire list, you can visit opendoorsusa.org. Some interesting news out of Tennessee. Tennessee lawmakers kicked off their annual session on a controversial note, senators giving final approval to a bill that allows faith-based adoption agencies to reject placing children with same-sex couples. The measure, which cleared the Republican House last year, won approval in the GOP-controlled Senate on a 20-6 vote, sending it on to Governor Bill Lee for his consideration. The Republican governor told reporters he wasn't commenting about the bill, which was supported by the Southern Baptist Convention's Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission. A Lee administration official later did say the governor will sign the bill, noting several other states have enacted similar laws, and the governor views it as additional protection for faith-based groups. The 111th General Assembly is also at some point expected to look at bills on abortion restrictions for Tennessee. And in Illinois, the state is changing the parental designations on its birth certificates to accommodate the wishes of transgender people. I'm not trying to mock this, but follow me now. In the past, the parent who gave birth was listed as the baby's mother. But when Miles and Precious Brady Davis of Chicago found that out, they asked that Miles, who is the parent who actually gave birth, be listed as the baby's father instead. Miles is a biological woman who identifies as transmasculine. Precious, the other parent, is a biological man who identifies as a woman, a transgender woman, and is considered the child's mother. According to NBC5 Chicago, Melanie Arnold, a spokeswoman for the Public Health Department, said they were the first transgender parents to bring up the issue to the state. Arnold said the department is still updating its system to allow for a father to be listed as the birth parent. And such is the wacky and broken world we live in. The father to be listed as the birth parent. Lord have mercy. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Tony Verkennis.
Books of the Bible. The Apostle Peter wrote to the elect exiles who were facing persecution for the sake of Christ. Peter exhorted them to trust God and to continue living godly lives. He reminds them of their hope in Christ and their high calling. When you want to learn joyful obedience, no matter what your circumstances, look to 1 Peter. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Well, thank you very much for sending all kinds of stuff to idea@wretched.org. This is Wretched Radio. Don't forget, not just questions, comments, conundrums, or snarks, but anything you see that is wretched, we want it. That's right. Coveting doesn't have to be sinful. It can be. In this instance, it's not. We covet your stories, your sermons, articles, whatever you see on the internet, send it to idea@wretched.org. Let's get to the mailbag as he counts the sands in the hourglass before having to play beep talk, which always scares me for some reason. Hey, Todd, I'm interested in getting a Greek translation Bible. Which one would you recommend for a layperson like myself trying to enhance my Bible reading? I'd get a Greek one. That's what I'd do. Next, idea@wretched.org. Okay. Here's what I would truly recommend, and this is going to sound like a shameless plug because it is a shameless plug, but nevertheless, I still think this is the best advice I can muster. I think it is most outstanding that every single Christian tries to understand the Greek language to a degree. You don't need to become Bill Mounts, but knowing the Greek language, it will enhance your understanding of theology. Therefore, it will grow your love of God, which is what theology is supposed to do. So I would recommend a resource. I hear it's very, very good. It's available at wretched.org. It's not Greek to me. This was the Greek primer that we put together to help somebody who was going to start taking Greek or just wanted to know enough Greek to be able to use an interlinear translation or to understand the references that their pastor uses on Sunday morning when he says, we see that this verb is in the pluperfect tense. And you're going to go, ah, pluperfect. Ah, I know what that is. That's what this accomplishes. You will learn the letters of the Greek language, which you really have to if you're going to study any Greek at all. So you memorize those, and you're off to the races because you'll have an understanding of the Greek language, because otherwise it's not going to do you much good to have a Greek interlinear translation. And the type that I would get, I don't have mine in front of me, but you'll just have to Google for this one. Oh, I wish I had this when I was taking Greek. Not just the interlinear. So you'll have the Greek text and then the English underneath it. But there are now some Greek interlinear Bibles that will tell you, for instance, the cases or the tenses, and it will give you the number, the corresponding number to Strong's Concordance, so you can see the word. They'll give you the number that corresponds to your lexicon, which is a Greek dictionary, so that you can learn all the meanings of the word, and you can do a deep dive into your study of the word. So get an understanding of the language. I think It's Not Greek to Me is very, very helpful. It's not painful. You'll just know the Greek language enough to understand an interlinear translation that has more than just the translation of the word. It will help you when it's like, oh, it tells me that that verb is in present tense, so it is ongoing. Ah, that's important to my understanding. And there are interlinear translations that give you those things. They'll tell you the way that the word is used in the sentence. And then they'll tell you, that's number 2622. Oh, 2622. Now I grab my lexicon, 2622, 2622. I can do that much Greek, 2622. And then you look up that number and it's like, oh, look at there. And oh, it tells me all of the places where my verb is used inside of the Bible. Oh, it tells me all the different ways that it's used. Oh, it's telling me the way that it thinks that it's used in my verse. idea@wretched.org. Sorry for the shameless plug, but not really. Should we arm someone so we won't be sitting ducks in church? Asks Mark. Yes. Yes, you should. Hi, God bless you. Is praying to ask Jesus into your heart biblical and then to affirm that person is saved just for praying? Ask, I'm sorry that I don't know how to pronounce your name. It's A-J-K. Praise God for the internet. Yeah, I just said that. Of course, it has caveats because we don't praise him for the ugly stuff. I mean, so ugly out there in so many ways. But it is such a blessing to reach people. We are hearing from more and more people from countries you wouldn't anticipate. You would think English-speaking countries, okay, it makes sense, Australia, Canada, Great Britain. You know, those are kind of the obvious ones. But we're getting so many emails from the Philippines, from Africa, from Japan. It's just the internet is just mind-boggling. Asking Jesus into your heart, is it biblical? Let me say this up front so that everybody doesn't get mad, because plenty of people will. But people have been saved by asking Jesus into their heart. They have been saved. Is that the biblical prescription for salvation? No. And I think it's deficient in a lot of ways. I don't think anybody has been malicious in using it. It has been kind of a trend in evangelical Christianity. The biblical formula for salvation is repent and trust, repent and trust, repent and trust. It's a repentant faith. It's not at work. It is a turning from this toward that. I hate my sins. I want my Jesus. That's repentance and faith. And they're one and the same, two sides of the same coin. You can't have faith without repentance. You can't have repentance without faith. Which comes first? You pick. And we can scuttle over that or skirmish over that all day if you want to. But that is what the Bible says. Turn from your sins. Turn to Jesus. Asking Jesus into your heart doesn't really convey that. So I think it's a deficient phrase, not maliciously intended, that I think we should get rid of and replace with biblical language. Having said that, some people have been saved from it. So if you ask Jesus into your heart and you're going, whoa, wait a second. Does that mean I wasn't saved? The repentant heart, the broken heart and contrite spirit is what God is looking for, however that gets expressed. This is from Ivan. He's struggling. I wish I were a musician.
I'm interested where this is going.
Well, this fellow is a musician. And it's interesting because this is not the first time we've had this question. That what do I do now that I'm a Christian with my musicality? Can I play secular music? Should I be playing the drums and the guitar? It must be something inside of this type of artist that causes some consternation. I want to make sure that I'm not sinning by doing something that God has gifted me with. Well, you don't have to be sinning. Can you play your drums and guitar without sinning? Of course you can. They're just instruments. Now, if the music is sinful, well, then it's a sin, but that has nothing to do with the instruments. It's the way that you are using those instruments. So don't feel guilty. And even if you're playing, think of a secular. Okay, gentlemen, think of your favorite secular song that doesn't involve sinning. Go ahead.
Yeah.
I've never heard of that one. Yeah?
Summer of 69.
Oh, that's all about sinning.
It is?
The movie is all about sinning. Of course it is.
And my first real six string, bought it at the Five and Dime, played it till my fingers bled. It was the summer of 69. Me and the boys had been... Where's the sinning part?
Oh, I'll have to look up the lyrics.
Oh, that song. I thought, wasn't there a movie about 1969 or something? And it was a coming-of-age story? Okay, we're thinking
summer
about
summer of 42.
You know, the time flies these days.
Endless summer?
Okay. If a song, this went really well, if a song doesn't
surfing
have
USA?
Sexual, sure, everybody go surfing USA. There, I don't think there's anything sinful in that. Sing it if you want to, sing it if you can, if you got that type of falsetto business. Not everything is sinful in and of itself, and we are here to partake and enjoy of those things. Paul writes, what do we as Christians do when we find ourselves in a public place where a Catholic priest, Muslim cleric, Mormon pastor, etc. Are they called Mormon pastors? Is that their title? Mormon elders, I thought, at any rate. Begins leading a prayer.
Elders are the evangelists, aren't they?
When you go out to the street. I don't know that I've got permission from Mike Fabares to share this story, so I'll keep Mike's name out of it. Some Mormon elders came to his church on Sunday morning, and then afterwards he was introduced to them. And he stuck out his hand like a good pastor and said, "Hey, I'm Pastor Mike Fabares. And who are you?" And he said, "You know, Elder Johnson." "Well, what's your first name?" "Elder Johnson." "All right. You're a guest in our church. I've told you my name and you won't tell me your name. This isn't going to fly." "It's Randy, sir." He just basically chastise him. What do you do when one of those people starts praying in public, leading a prayer? Should we excuse ourselves, remain yet refrain from prayer? What is the appropriate course of action? You have to decide that based on the setting. Remember, the concern here is that we do not want to give the impression that we are yoking with somebody who does not believe accurately in an orthodox way about God and salvation. So whatever that would look like, if it means dismissing yourself, cool. If it means not bowing your head, keeping your eyes open, whatever you think is appropriate. I wouldn't get all technical and legalistic about it, but don't do something that demonstrates, yeah, we're basically praying to the same God, because the reality is we're not. Mike Riccardi, he gave such a great, I said, okay, do Muslims and Christians worship the same God? This was Pastor Mike Riccardi's response. Do they believe in Jesus? Huh. Christians and Jews, do they worship the same God? Do they believe that Jesus Christ is the divine Son of God? Oh. The answer is no, we don't worship the same God, because the issue is Jesus. And if you are put into a situation where somebody is praying and they don't believe in Jesus or the Trinity or salvation, grace alone, faith alone, and Christ alone, then you don't want to be giving the impression that you agree, because we don't. This is Wretched Radio. No doubt, if you've spent even a minute listening to conservative media, you have been whipped into a frenzy. The problems with our society, the collapse of a culture, the statistics, the legislation. We got to do something about this. But then we're never told what to do. I believe the greatest social ill of our time is the war against the unborn. Millions of children being killed in our country during our lifetime. And we can do something about it. And we can practically get engaged in the war for life. Preborn.org/wretched. $28 will provide an ultrasound 80% of the time. It saves the life of a child. Let's not just be righteously indignant. Let us do something to save lives. The women hear the gospel, they receive support, and they choose life. $28 for an ultrasound. Preborn.org/wretched.
Without sounding too much like a mafia don, here's an offer you can't refuse. Wretched would like to give you up to 20 copies of our evangelistic booklet, What Time is Purple? And Other Intriguing Questions on the Road Trip to Truth. You heard me right. We want to give you these beautiful, thorough gospel booklets. But there are two strings attached. Well, really tiny strings, more like fishing line. Actually, thread would be better. You pay for shipping only, and you promise to give them away to the atheist or agnostic in your life who believes that evolution disproves the existence of God. Go to wretched.org/purple today and get your copies of What Time is Purple? It's also a great idea for the student in your life who's heading off to school, or anyone who doubts that the Bible is true. Get your copies of What Time is Purple at wretched.org/purple. And thanks very much to the generosity of our gospel partners who make this giveaway possible.
What two pastors go through to bring Bibles to their parishioners in the Philippines.
Two pastors, they had to rise up 3 a.m. and walk for 2 hours. And after that, they have to ride a bangka across the river for an hour and then walk again for 3 hours just to get hold of those precious Bibles. They will return in the same way again to bring those Bibles to people whom they are ministering.
That is what they go through. What must you and I do to bring those Bibles to believers around the globe? Pick up our phones. Call Bible League International. Would you do that right now? $5 per Bible. Could you send 7 per month? Call Bible League International right now, and they will be delivered to the hands of a believer. 1-800-YES-WORD. Just giving you a chance to write that down or to call it. 1-800-YES-WORD to bring Bibles to believers through Bible League International. 1-800-YES-WORD.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the seed of the woman,
immediately after the fall of man, God promised a Savior who would be the offspring of the woman. Jesus was born of a virgin, a divine Savior born of the seed of woman.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Oh, boy.
1-877-282-BEEP.
This is Wretched Radio. Call 1-877-282-BEEP. Why do I always get the shakes from this? That you call in, Joey puts it in a rather selectively edited montage that I get to hear for the first.
Do that for the best of everyone.
Now I understand why this gives me the heebie-jeebies. 1-877-282-BEEP. Questions, comments, conundrums, or snarks. Please try to keep it pithy. Ixnay on the airing sway. If and you're a pagan, because Christians don't swear, do we?
Beep, 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 beep.
You mentioned the plus after LGBTQ+. It might be important to point out that if gender is fluid and gender doesn't mean anything except for a social construct, then we don't have any way to really define what a lesbian is, because those terms have meaning. A lesbian is a woman who has sex with a woman. If gender is fluid, then how do you know who you're having sex with?
That is a great point. Recently, I was thinking something similar. We are told, now I don't want to caricaturize this and set up a straw man, but we are told that gender is mere social constructs, that we somehow have determined if you've got those particular organs, you're this versus that. That's all just made up by culture. It has the way you look on the outside, the organs you possess, irrelevant. Then they tell us that if they feel like they're in the wrong body, they insist on us affirming that they get changed into a different body. But if those bodies are irrelevant, why do you want to change into them? You shouldn't have those feelings at all. If indeed we're just nothing but these amorphous blobs, I shouldn't have a desire for anything. And now you're taking it a step further, sir. When it comes to sexuality, you're just attracted to something that's moving. And you just should be seeing human beings. Can we even call them that? I know it's got the word man in it. That might be offensive to somebody. That we just see human beings as nothing but sexual outlets. Do you know what that harkens back to? Dennis Prager wrote a history of sexuality, or maybe it was just a history of sex. It's a difficult subject. Going back in history to write about historical events is difficult. Writing about constructs, social ideas, behavior, it's very difficult. Nevertheless, and I think he was accurate in this, before the Bible said, no, one man, one woman, male and female, created he them. That's the configuration that God demands. What was the attitude of culture regarding sexual issues? Before it was, that was always God's intent. But before it was put in the Bible and laid out for everybody to see, overall, society believed in nothing but looking for the word that won't be inappropriate. Basically, it doesn't matter what the object is as long as it provides satisfaction. That's it. So literally, it doesn't matter if my partner is a shoe or a badger or a boy or a beautiful woman. Doesn't make any difference as long as the part thing can work out so that I can get satisfaction. Doesn't it seem to me that's kind of like where we're going back to? You know, we Christians on the wrong side of history and all. It seems like we're reverting right back to that. The confusion, it is so profound these days, and yet it still should not shock us. It is a fallen world. It is a broken world. As shame evaporates and as any sort of godly influence evaporates with it, you're just going to see it get worse and worse and worse.
I'm 64-year-old grandmother, got saved when I was 19. I have never been so blessed and laugh and cry and learn so much from you, my brother. I just found your thing on YouTube about a week ago, and I've been watching you and watching you, and I have been so convicted and blessed.
All right, I'll turn the lights off.
We're going home, gentlemen.
Walk up before you go.
That would be the end of the day right there. That just is awfully sweet. Oh, sister, that was like beyond encouraging. Wow. Can I share a story right back at you about, okay, you're 64. You're still young. You're still vital. You are fully in the game. But having said that, we're never out of the game. Received an email from Ruth, who wrote this. This is about persevering in the faith as a believer and being active and contributing to the kingdom in some way, shape, or form. And by the way, madam, you just did something like that. You just encouraged us greatly. My father just passed away September from dementia. He was a faithful man of God, serving as a minister for years and later working for a Christian publishing company. My husband's son and I had the privilege and joy to take him to church for several months while as he was physically able to go. Our church family found him to be such a blessing. I understand in a church why the old people go to the early service, the young kids, they go to the louder thing that's later in the day. But and I get that, but man, the blessing that we're missing with each other. The young people are missing out on all that wisdom that comes at 7 o'clock in the morning, and the older people are losing and missing out on the enthusiasm and the joy of the younger generation. Do you see how we benefit one another? These divided services, I get the pressure, I know. Our church family found it to be such a blessing. If we happened to make it early to church and participated in the early prayer time, my father's prayers were so reverent and powerful, many of the members commented on how strong and uplifting they were. During the sermon, you would think he was sleeping and not paying attention. Then out of his mouth, you would hear a very loud, clear, resounding, "Amen." Always at very inspiring and truthful moments during the sermon. He would sing loud sometimes, making me cry. In his younger days, he had a beautiful tenor voice. And although shaky and not so strong, it was still beautiful. After the sermon, the first place he would head was to the pastor to encourage him and let him know that he was blessed. The only request my dad had for his funeral was for our pastor to preach at it. Most of our church family attended and helped out, and they spoke highly of my dad and said they were so blessed by him. At the care facility, he was known to pray for other residents and encourage them, "No age is too old to serve God." Amen to that.
I'm actually sitting in the parking lot right now, and I'm seeing a group of elderly senior citizens, and they're walking around with what looks like gospel tracts. I take a quick glance at it, and I'm seeing images of the Pope and Mother Teresa and the Almighty Divine Mary. I tried talking to her about repentance and faith and giving her a couple of Living Waters tracts. She immediately just grabs them and just starts to shred them up, throws them in the parking lot, putting her hands over her ears, screaming out, "I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it." And I'm thinking, well, that's how I pretty much feel about your religion. I was hopeful for a moment there.
Hey, I just heard your program. I just stumbled across it on YouTube, and I want to say that I love your program, and I love you as a host. You're doing a great job. Keep up the good work.
You said, can you really be a Christian if you don't belong to a church? That was terrible to put in people's mind that they're not Christians. What do you call someone who believes in the Lord Jesus, has repented, bears fruit in keeping with repentance, studies their Bible every day, studies seminary theology every day, prays continually, values God as their supreme treasure, and the Lord Jesus as our righteousness? What do we call this not Christians? We can't be Christians because we don't go to church. I'm sorry, a very few people that go to church do what I do every day. And I think that what you've done is just caused divisiveness. And that's not fair. That's not even nice. That's why I don't go to church, because I'm so afraid of any sort of false teaching that I just study God's word continually to be in God's word and God's will and abide in the word.
Madam, just to be clear, I don't think that I stated it quite like that. What I would say is, if you don't love the bride, Are you sure you love the groom? If you're not willing to be a member of a church, which I believe is clearly commanded in Scripture, even if implicitly, then you should ask yourself the question, am I really amongst the body of true believers? Because church is indeed that important. I would never say somebody who's not is automatically not a Christian, but it is a worthy examination if you do not want to be a part of the body of Christ. So, madam, my encouragement to you, I understand the false teaching, but that can happen in books. It can happen anywhere. Please, I would encourage you, reconsider your position on it. Jesus loves the church, and you can't use those gifts and that knowledge you're accumulating if you're not serving in a local church.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you so much. You are great. Keep doing what you're doing.
Joey.
Jesus has saved me. Inside transformation, high school dropout, marijuana, steroids, cocaine, porno. No more. Keep preaching. I love you in Jesus. I can't say enough. Keep preaching.
Are we getting somebody else's voicemails?
Okay. Praise.
Wow.
Praise God. Now, Joey, turn out the lights. We are going home. Wow. Praise God. Until tomorrow, go serve your King.